Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
_WFT. Saying that punting on the fourth down with Josh Johnson at quarterback is one thing, but then why are they calling timeouts later? Yo, there was inconsistencies for sure in how they were reacting. The whole damn season's been inconsistent. Like, last year, every scratch-off, imagine they bought 17 scratch-off tickets. Damn near every one
hit for
$500.
Yeah.
This year, it's all losers.
Yeah.
This year, it's all losers. And I'm not trying to discount that. Like, this season is an absolute mess. You're 4-11. You got 2 games left. You're a home dog to the Cowboys on Christmas Day by 5.5-6 points. And the head coach yesterday is unclear who the hell is going to play quarterback. The only thing they're clear of, it will not be Jaden Daniels.
They may call me.
Dude, they might. DQ was joking. He's like, yeah, the Colts just signed somebody off the street.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have to do that.
Hey, we got somebody coming on at 11 o'clock. See if he got a little something in it.
We'll ask Joe T.
Yeah.
For all the people that are saying to bring back Heinicke, keep this in mind. Heinicke was a Ron Scott Turner guy. He knew their system. That is not the same system now. So, like, I get there's some love for Taylor, but, like, there's been a fundamental systemic
change.
That's
a whole new thing, too, that we have put him at a level that he does not. He ain't that good.
I think.
I'll be honest with you. People. They made him more than what he was.
I think the level of third quarterback call somebody in off the street is where he is. I think that's a reasonable thought. But he was connected to the old regime, not this. Like, he knew Scott Turner's offense inside and out. Like, it made sense.
Yeah.
I don't know that he knows Cliff's.
True.
I also think it's pretty telling that. I think there were questions about Hartman's arm strength. That's why he didn't get drafted. I think in the year since, he had pretty big shoulder surgery. I think for all the Hartman people, I think it's pretty obvious where that thing is at, that he wasn't active, and we'll see what his role is this Thursday, but that Dan Quinn is pretty clearly not saying, yeah, we're going to go with Sam or we're going to see what Sam has. Yep. He's kind of saying, yeah, all options are on the table. We'll see. But if you're talking about the option of bringing somebody in off the street in on December 22nd, week 17.
It's a long list.
It's pretty telling.
All of them not very good.
Right.
So
that it's pretty telling of where you think your practice squad QB is.
Yeah.
And I think, like, people just want to approach these things with no honesty. Like, just look at it realistically.
We are known in this town, like I said before, of making people heroes before they ever do anything to deserve it. And that's the same thing everybody, like, you go with Hartman, this, that. If Hartman was there, if he was as good as the people think, he would have been played. Okay? He would have been playing before Josh Johnson.
Correct.
They would have had
him. He would have been active.
He'd have been in the routine. He'd have been in the whole little deal, but he's not. And I think people have to understand that sometimes. Just because we like people don't mean that they're good.
Right.
You know, I like a lot of people, but if I needed to go win a football game, I'm not putting them in the game.
Correct. My gut is growing, one. And two, I think, it's Johnson on Thursday.
Probably will be.
Not ideal.
Not.
I think.
I mean, but let's be real, bro. If Johnson is the guy, you go into this game with a certain level of expectations. You know? Hell, if you go get somebody that's not Johnson, you're still going to a level. Who are you going to bring in that you got more confidence in him? As a person that hadn't been here all year, that doesn't know the offense, comes off the street, I'm not going to have confidence in either one of them. Listen, this is the type of game that you got to muddy up. You got to play this game super, super tight and see what can happen at the end. When they started off with that game, I'm like, oh, hell, we might be into one this week. And then Mariota goes down, and then Johnson throws a bad pick. But if they had played that game throughout as tight as it was going, I don't think it ends up in how it did. I think we could have seen a different outcome, or we might have never saw the big plays and things like that because Mariota was playing it just perfectly.
Well, they also ran the ball fairly well in that game, mm-hmm. and I think you'll see them try to really run the ball against Dallas and just speed that thing up, just try to get the game over because Dallas' offense is obviously explosive. Pickens and Dak. The running – I don't understand their committee. I understand a running back by committee approach. I can completely understand that. And frankly, as much as it sucks for like fantasy and player props, I kind of think it's the right way to run it. Unless you have Bijan or Saquon or Christian McCaffrey, like unless you have one of those dudes, go with the committee. Keep fresh legs. The way they run their committee doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
The thing of it is this. Normally, when you have a running back by committee, a guy goes into the game and he runs and he does his stuff. And if he's good, if he's cooking, he keeps cooking. If he's not, you try to change a little, bring in somebody to change the pace. The way it seemed to be ran here, we're gonna give you this, then we automatically giving you the next person the next thing, no matter what happens. And that throws me off right there. Like if the first guy is cooking in the first half.
Let him
we
cook.
Don't need to change in the third quarter. You know, it's hard enough to go into a locker room and come back out of the locker room in the third quarter and still be able to move at the level you were in the first. The guy that didn't play in the first very much, it's damn hard for him, I promise you.
Like, you and I drove to Erie, Pennsylvania for Cody's wedding, right?
I did about 90% of it, but okay.
That's where I'm headed. So the ride back, we had to get up early to get out of there because that's a long-ass ride.
Mm-hmm.
And we were probably on the road 5:30 or something.
It was quick.
Six, I don't know what it was. But I did offer. I was like, yo, you want me to drive? You're like, nah, I'm good. You know what I said? Cool. Like, if somebody's running the ball really well, just let them keep running.
There you go.
Like, you said you made 8 pounds of ribs yesterday. You know what I wouldn't have done? Stop you. Like, I'm just going to let you cook all the ribs. I'm going to hang out over here and drink a beer and eat ribs. I'd like to have a real conversation, Brian. I'm done with ball is life. I'm done with it. You know what needs to be life? Tackling.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
Go, like, but the Saquon touchdown run.
Yeah, they got to tackle.
Tackle. Let's preach tackling.
We said all year.
Then get the ball. But tackle first.
Yeah, but You don't change your sayings no matter what.
It might be time to.
Because I know.
You're 4-11.
It don't make a difference. I saw Coach Gibb with the same saying when he won Super Bowls. And when he came back here that second time, he had the same sayings going on. And he had a good year 1 year. The other year, they didn't have that great of a year. It's not going to change. But
these guys. I'm done with Ball's life.
These guys got to understand this. The most important thing is stopping the person. You can't tackle the football without tackling the person. I watch a lot of football, and, you know, it's a bunch of people that do the same crap we do. But there's a guy on every team that's a damn menace, where when he hits a person, they go down. So remember I always say just grab the guy and wrap up, grab him and don't let go. I watch a game. I watch the Chargers game. Derwin James, when he wrapped his arm around you, he just let his weight go. I don't give a damn who you are in the league. You're not carrying 220 pounds up and down the field. We hit guys like this. Forearm. Forearm. Most guys not going out. Hell, I haven't played 27 years. I probably won't go down with a forearm. You know, when I play, I damn sure wasn't going down with a forearm. I would love you to come give me a forearm. And I would love you to stick your arm out because I try to take that son of a bitch with me. You know, that's the way it goes. They have to learn. And, yes, the coaches have to be more strict on the guys and be forceful with them. If you can't tackle, you can't play. This is tackle football. This is not touch. This is not flag. You know, this is tackle. So tackling means hit, wrap, fall. It doesn't mean bump. We've been bumping too many people. It's a good dance back in the 70s and the 80s, but it ain't no dance no more.
Landfill's into bumps, but I you got to tackle. Dude, like, I just, that touchdown run, that's still a ball game. It's 14-10.
He was backing up at one point in that on that touchdown.
Look at it. I just pulled it up. Oh, he's got his back.
I know the whole run. He was backing up, and then he had three people there, and he comes out of it. If one guy grabs him and wraps up, he is not going to the end zone. And three people were right there, and they could not grab him? Come on, man. And that, listen, bro. It's at the point now where the players should know. But at this point, if the players that have not done it are still out there, it's the coaches have to correct it. It's on them. If you like, remember what you say about Ron, if every week you keep putting the same people out there, it's on you. So every week we keep putting the same people out there, it's on them. They got to figure that out.
The reality of this season, you want to know the roadmap? To 4-11, 27th in points allowed, 31st in yards allowed, 24th in points scored, 20th in yards gained. Like, ball is life. Ball is life. They're 31st in the NFL in generating turnovers.
Mm-hmm. Only one guy take that on. And
Mikey's a playmaker. Mikey's coverage skills may not be the best, but he's a playmaker. Mm-hmm. I mean, the play on the opening kickoff.
The guy makes plays.
But I don't know. This whole season is just so incredibly frustrating. Against Dallas, you got to try to just run the absolute hell out of the football.
It was frustrating early, Jay, for me. It hit a point where I was not frustrated anymore. When I saw the injuries, I saw the way that they were playing some things, I stopped being frustrated around week 8 or 9. I still start to critique a game and talk about a game and analyze a game. But the frustration level, not that high.
They're bad. Like when honestly, it's been a little easier for us that we don't have to turn ourselves into pretzels trying to figure out the playoff machinations, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you know, if they can win 4 in a row and Philly has 2 ties and Dallas loses a toe and balances on the side of a building and the Lions lose 8 of their last 6. Like, you know, when you start trying to come up with that spider web of how things are still alive and the mathematicians get involved and there's a 1.6% chance, like, it's nice we don't have to deal with that BS. Because that's BS. It's not going to happen. Like, everybody, ideally inside the building too, is just focused on how do we fix this thing for 26. Like, fix it in 26. That's... Mm-hmm. That should be the only focus at this point. And in the last 5 minutes, Brian, White Brian, we were talking about the quarterback position. White Brian sent a GIF of RG3 to the group thread. I don't know if you saw that. So there's an option for you. My man DJ on Twitter sent me they should call Cam Newton. So there's an option for you. I guess Phil Rivers isn't available. Maybe Tom Brady could come out of retirement. I don't think they're going to do any of that.
They're not calling Cam. They're not calling none of them. Did you not see Cam throwing the ball in the last few games he played?
Numbers weren't great. has Robert posted anything?
I don't know. Who blocked him?
I guess Strober blocked him. In a shocking development, Jeff's not at work today. We hope he's all right. He may have injured his forehead, is my understanding. Yo, you were on one in the text thread with him last night.
Just saying, bro.
All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Gabe, I've been waiting and waiting for an opportunity for Ben Sinnott. And after Zach Ertz went down in Minnesota with a torn ACL, it became very, very clear that the Ben Sinnott show was about to start. The curtains were going to open.
The show.
Sinnott would be standing there, and he'd start doing the...
Magic Mike routine.
The Napoleon Dynamite dance, you know, with his boots and his Vote for Pedro t-shirt on. It hasn't happened. This past game on Saturday, not only was Zach Ertz out, but the other young athletic tight end who takes some ops away from him occasionally, Colson Yankoff, was also out. So they're promoting journeyman tight end veteran Lawrence Cager from the practice squad. So if you're going 13 personnel, if you're going 12 personnel, you don't really have a choice. This has to be Ben Sinnott's time.
And it's Sinnott time, baby.
One catch for 36 yards against the Giants that came at the very end of the game on a nice post, leaves a guy in his wake, his only target of the game. So if you know a portly guy with a beard who put two catches in for 20 yards on FanDuel, he probably lost his bet. Well... That same portly guy with a beard probably doubled down, saying,
"Oh no,
sure as hell, that's not going to happen two straight weeks. There's nothing else to play for.
Yeah.
This feels like 4 for 47
today.
There's got
to be some targets here, man.
One catch, for 4 yards. Which of the 4 yards on the one catch was your favorite?
Boom, 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 boom.
One legitimate target where they weren't throwing it out of bounds in his vicinity. I just can't believe it. There are other things you could get mad about in terms of the usage of the kids in a lost season in week 16, like, I don't know, Johnny Newton, your second-round pick, 36th overall last year, playing 43% of the time, or Jordan McGee playing the same 43% of the time. Bill got out-snapped by Jeremy McNichols, 19-11.
Yeah.
And Jeremy McNichols does a different thing where he's the gun protector and the pass pro guy and the pass catcher, but I'd like to see Bill do that. He needs to improve in that area. It's not like he's protecting Jaden Daniels' blindside. He's now protecting Josh Johnson or Marcus Mariota, so give him a chance. They're not doing that.
But, Grant, how did they practice during the week? Do you know how they practice? How are they looking? Did they make the most of their reps? Did they earn that playing time?
Don't care.
You're like, don't care. Run them out there.
This is my not interested in that face, okay? I'm sorry. Like, I really don't care about that. It is so easy to throw the ball to Ben Sinnott on purpose twice. That's all I'm not even asking for 10 for 117. I don't think he's capable
of that.
He just
wants targets, a few
he's
targets.
He's not Trey McBride. Let's just find out, can the dude play or not?
Yeah.
His skill is the after-the-catch ability to be Chris Cooley and use body lean and balance and make people miss and run through tackles.
Do you think many teams are this way, that they don't push their young developing guys to the front of the line as the season is over?
Most of them.
Okay, and why is that?
I think it's a sport where people like me on the outside yell a thing that makes a lot of sense that doesn't mean anything to them in the building and in the locker room.
Right.
They see Bobby Wagner, who's playing his ass off, by the way.
And they can't think of, you know, taking away reps from him because he's playing so well, and they respect him, and they appreciate
and they
what he's done.
Him, and there's a reverence.
Yeah, yeah,
and
he's
putting his body on the line. And,
yeah.
You know, let's be honest about this sport. His ability to walk, you know, his liveliness on the line going out there.
Right.
He's gotten through practices, and he's given the speech on Wednesday in the meeting room, and they're going, he's earned it. He's better than the guys will play over him. It's not fair to those guys to say, if you do all these things, you get to play. And now to tell them, sorry, but here's what we're doing. But to that, I would say, respectfully to Bobby Wagner, there's a really good chance he's not here next year. And a lot of positions we could talk about, Jeremy McNichols, a guy like him might be here. He might even be back at 30 years old. But him being annoyed, he gets it. It's a business. And now there's 2 games left. When there was 5 or 6 left and Danny and people are yelling about this, I was saying, hey, man, A, they're not even eliminated from the playoffs yet. B, there's a lot of runway left. They're not going to do it this early just because they're bad. But now,
it's time.
It's week 16, and you're 4-10, man.
I think they worry about the whole locker room disintegrating to a certain extent and guys really going off on their own about, okay, well, if this is how we're going to do it, if we're going to play this guy instead of me, then screw this, screw that, and then it's anarchy, even if it's only for 2 short weeks. I think they want to maintain some degree of functionality.
Should you care about that if the guys who are going to lead the anarchy aren't here in your plans anyway? I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm asking the question rhetorically.
How solid do you think their plans are? Do they know which guys they're not going to come back with next year?
I think you got a pretty good idea.
Or do they think they know?
Like with Bobby Wagner, he could absolutely come back next year and play for them. But I think they know right now this moment.
Does it make sense?
He's not going to be a 100% of snaps Mike linebacker who's their every down guy and starter next year. They got to know that. They need more speed. He has limitations in the passing game. He's excellent in the box, making tackles against the run when you're coming downhill. But there's no way, if your goal is to get faster and be a lot better on defense next year, that they go back to the well on this plan. And so if that's true, like there's some thought. I was reading something that, you know, they think there's a chance Jordan McGee could actually be their green dot next year. Well, why in the hell wouldn't you want to see?
Well, if you give me the green dot with the radio, you got to get some experience on that.
Right?
Yeah, it's like working the drive-thru at a busy McDonald's. They'll just give that to anybody.
Can I please take your order, please?
What's your McDonald's order?
I've never been there. What are you talking about?
Never once, huh?
Yeah. No, it's quarter cheese plain. Maybe the double cheeseburger with fries, that kind of thing. Diet Coke. I don't know what number it is. People say that me not using the app is one of the all-time fumbles, that the app is what all the kids are on now because the app has specials, and they're always checking the app each day to go, ooh, look at what is on a great special on the
app.
It's
incredible. So I don't use the app either. It drives my wife insane.
You don't use the app either?
No.
Okay.
It's just too much of a nuisance. So like if we pull up to get the kids a Happy Meal or whatever, they're like, are you using the app? And I'll say no. And my wife will yell over top of me from the passenger.
He
like,
should be.
No, she'll say, yes, we're using the app because she's got the app. And she's it's like,
do you get frequent flyer points with the McDonald's app?
Yes, you
do. Absolutely. A dad's in on this.
I mean, okay. It's absolutely egregious that you guys are not using it.
Okay, I'm going to download it right now, Darius.
By
I'm
the way,
in.
Tell
Let's
me I'm
go.
Wrong, Darius, but isn't it like a large fry almost every day or like a cola with a burger or something?
Yeah, like there's deals on there where you can get like $4 off of a 10-piece nugget every day, once a day per, you know, it's unbelievable that you guys are missing out on all these opportunities.
You know what it is, Darius? I'm still a little bit peeved at the McDonald's Corporation of Oak Brook, Illinois for having removed the third pound Angus burger. They claimed that it was not a moneymaker for them. And I say you are full of, respectively, McDonald's. I went and got it every time. It was a great burger. Was it an $8.49 burger 6 years ago? Yes. Would it probably be $12 now due to inflation? Maybe. I'd still buy it, though. Best damn fast food burger ever. And they're like, yeah, no, it wasn't a popular item. It wasn't a moneymaker for us. Get out of here.
Good enough moneymaker. You know why I haven't gotten the app? I'm worried. I take my health very seriously, Zabe.
Of course you
my
do.
My body is a temple.
Of course
I'm
it is.
I'm worried if I got the app, I might not eat as healthy as I do traditionally, and then I would gain a little, like, you know, I'm a guy who likes to stay in good shape.
Of
as you
course,
know.
Yes.
So and if so, I get the app, what would happen? I would get out of shape. I don't want to do that.
Well, I wanted to let you guys know as well that after every Wizards win, you can get a Big Mac for $2.50.
Oh, good. So we have three Big Mac deals so far this year. McDonald's is probably answers that call. Some guy named Frank at McDonald's from the Wizards rep, and they're like, hey, what can we do for you? They're like, we want to do a deal with you guys. Okay, what is it? Every time our team wins, we want to do a $2.50 Big Mac. They're like, no, we can't do that. What team is this? They're like, the Wizards. Oh, yeah, no problem. Yeah, we'll do that. I tell you what, let's do a large value meal for everyone in the car every time you guys win, and we'll give you $1,000.
The McDonald's app, 7 million reviews, 5 stars, number 2 in food and drink category, orders, deals, and rewards. What Let's more go. Could you want?
Welcome back to another Misery Monday presented by Chiniga Mios, a 2025 top workplace. Visit careerswithmios.com.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive?
Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Calm. You got a two-man junk show this Christmas week. Cakes and Bish Bucks. Mm-hmm. We are your show ambassadors for the week. Thank you for listening. If you're out there, we do appreciate that. Coming up in about an hour, Steve Zabin is going to join us. He is co-hosting with Grant Paulson this week here on 106.7
The Fan. Wake up, Zabe. Wake up.
So we'll talk to Zabe hopefully in about an hour. 800-636-1067 is the number. Throughout this topic before the break, who's the Commanders' current biggest rival? Now, this comes in the wake of the game this past weekend against one of their division rivals, obviously, in the Philadelphia Eagles. We saw the tempers flaring at the end of the game as the massive brawl that broke out after Sirianni decided to go for two instead of just kick the extra point, basically rubbing the Commanders' noses in it.
Yeah.
Here was Dan Quinn when he was asked about that post-game.
Obviously, it's their choice to go for two there, right, and you know, it's your job to stop them. But is there an unspoken respect between coaches, teams, where you know, in a game in that situation, you don't do that? And kind of, did you feel like it was a little bit of a sign of disrespect?
Yeah, I can only answer from my side what I would do. But hey, man, like that's how they want to get down, and like all good. We play them again in 2 weeks.
See, I like the response, and in this just cataclysmic season, it actually gives
a good
me,
word for it.
It gives me something to actually look forward to for, let's be honest, it's a meaningless week 17 game for the Eagles. They've already clinched the division. Now they may be able to move up if they get a win, but I'm not sure if they're exactly locked in to their spot. But let's be honest, it's pretty much a meaningless game. It certainly is for the Commanders, but it gives me a little subplot to tune in for.
Yeah, I don't think that game's going to mean anything for the Eagles because they've already won the division. Yeah. So, maybe their seeding goes up by one,
right,
depending on what happens with the Bears and the other division winners.
This is a gift for Adam Peters and Dan Quinn because all week long, if a player is not pissed about it leading up to it,
right,
thinking about the two-point conversion,
yeah,
or is maybe just lollygagging out there during the game or or a practice leading up to it, get his ass out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like this should piss you off if you're a Commander and they're running up the score on you.
Right.
And yeah, you just had your melee. I mean, you should be pissed off.
I'm sure they will be.
And Dan Quinn needs to go to Adam Peters and say, hey, this player, what, half-assing it. He's already looking forward to his Cancun trip.
Right.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm glad Dan Quinn's not made like the way my brain is. Because if I were Dan Quinn right now, all I'd be thinking about is my silly vacation home in Hawaii.
Right.
And getting there and just decompressing, putting this miserable season behind me. Like, he's still in the fight, obviously. He's going to grind through these next 2 weeks. Then he's going to do whatever. I'm just being honest. I would mentally be checked out right now. I'd be going through the motions. Now, luckily, Dan Quinn's not.
Yeah.
He's a stronger person in every single way than I am. So good for him. I'm just telling you, I'd be thinking about drinking Mai Tais in Hawaii while the next two games are ongoing.
It's been a long 6 months.
I can only imagine being inside his brain like over the last month.
Well, just think about the players.
Sure.
I mean, those players want to get the hell out of here.
Absolutely.
I think Von Miller doesn't want to get the hell out of Leesburg.
So getting back,
go
to,
back to Texas,
the question, I'm guessing a lot of people are going to lean towards Philly as being the biggest current rival. And Valdez is like, if you pick Dallas, you're old. I still consider Dallas Washington's biggest rival.
Well, Dallas is the iconic rivalry.
Right.
But
it's high profile.
But I'd say the up and coming one are the Eagles, who you just played in the NFC East.
Right.
And then obviously you have the bad blood with them in the division.
Right.
And it's awesome that the coaches hate each other.
Sure.
So that makes it even better.
Yeah.
And I'd say the dark horse would be the Bears.
I can see the Bears.
You have some good games against the Bears. You have the number one, number two pick against each other.
Yeah, I find it hard to elevate.
I mean, that's only happened in the last 2 years.
I find it hard to elevate a non-division rival up to the same status as the Cowboys or the Eagles, but I can understand.
I mean, there's not that much history between the two, but I think with recent history and how the games have gone and how the seasons have kind of collapsed after those games and how Jaden and Caleb are kind of tied at the hip with one another, since they're drafted right next to each other, I think that's a very dark horse rivalry.
Kind of similarities with the Caps and the Carolina Hurricanes. Like a few years ago, I never would have considered them real rivals, but now
that would have been Pittsburgh or the Rangers.
Like I still consider Pittsburgh they're a notch above. Like there's never going to be a bigger rival for the Caps than the Pittsburgh Penguins, but the Carolina Hurricanes are making inroads, and I can kind of see that with Valdez saying that about the Bears.
Yeah.
I just feel like if you're not a division rival, it's tough to kind of get on that next level, like the Cowboys and the Eagles.
And by the way, Caps don't want to play the Red Wings anytime soon either.
No, they probably don't.
So I can see that. There's kind of that side story with the Bears because of what's happened in the last couple of years. And maybe that'll be, you know, continue depending on when they play them. But yeah, I would probably go with the Eagles now, especially since they played them in the NFC Championship last year. But the Cowboys, I mean, the Cowboys have just been so, I mean, the Cowboys are such a huge disappointment this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fact that we just talked about it a couple segments ago, the fact that the Cowboys and the Commanders are playing on Christmas Day, first game of a triple header, where 5 months ago you would have said this is going to be a massive, massive game, possibly for the NFC East, definitely for a playoff berth.
Yeah, definitely playoff seeding at stake.
Yeah, you're going to see so many backups in this matchup.
Right.
I don't know what the Dallas Cowboys are going to do. I mean, I don't know if they're going to play Dak. I assume they're going to play Dak, but I wouldn't be surprised if they played a bunch of backups. Mm-hmm. The games don't matter.
Yeah.
Why would you go out there and play a CD or a Pickens or Dak when the games don't matter? And with Washington, everyone talks about, and DQ talks about finishing strong, and they want to get to 6-11. But if you're playing Dallas, who's already been eliminated, they don't care, and you're going to play Philly in Week 18, I guarantee you Philly's not going to play any of their starters.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do, they're going to play them for about a quarter. It doesn't really matter. So why not just lose those games and get a better draft pick? I'm in the tankathon mode now.
Oh, you are.
If I was a Commander fan.
Okay. I could see the...
I would rather them be 4-13 than 6-11.
I could see the merit of that. Absolutely. 800-636-1067 is the number. Who's the Commander's current biggest rival? Let's go to... I would say this guy's a Commander's expert. We saw him at Hyde Social on Friday. Tailgate Ted. What's up, Ted? You're on with the Junks.
What's going on, boys? How you doing today?
What's
Ted,
up, man?
You did not have much fun on Saturday.
No, Lurch. No, I didn't. If I had $10 for every Eagles fan that walked up to me during the game to ask to take a selfie, I could have paid for my NFC Championship ticket last year.
Jeez. Now, hold on. Like in the stadium, they're asking to take selfies with you?
Yeah, Barstool Philly. I guess I still live rent free up there.
Yeah.
Decided to reshare that video from last year.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at the tailgate at what, noon?
Yeah.
And I've got a bunch of them walking up, bothering me the entire time.
Oh.
I've got people just heckling me the entire game. And then one guy sitting in the section across from me comes over to apologize after they've been harassing me the entire game. And it got pretty close. To a 76-year-old man behind me said, "You're about to get beat by a 76-year-old black man if you don't go back to your section."
Damn.
It was getting ugly out there.
Pretty fun.
Wow. Yeah, it wasn't fun. All right, so in your opinion, who's the biggest rival?
It's Philly. I mean, I agree with Valdez. Right? It's got to be the Eagles. Tress Way has more yards in the championship game than Dak Prescott does. They're just not relevant.
Yeah.
And I hate Dallas. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I pray for their fans, but I loathe those bastards up north. There's just not a group of people that I hate more than them. Mm-hmm. They've gone after my family. They've cost me a job. It's personal at this point.
It clearly is.
Wow.
You can hear it in his voice.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tailgate. We appreciate this. Thanks
appreciate
for coming out
guys.
On Friday, man. It was good to see you.
And you'll be out at the game on Christmas.
Wouldn't miss it, Lurch.
Ugh.
We only get 8 regular season games. I'm not missing one.
I know.
Holiday be damned. So I'll be there.
Thanks, Ted. Talk to you soon.
Might want to rethink that for next year.
Basically, the Philadelphia Eagles have ruined his life, and the fans of the team have ruined Telly Dad's life.
They have. I didn't know it was that bad.
They've basically broken him. They're breaking his brain.
I didn't know it was that bad. Cost him a job?
I didn't know that detail, but...
Matt, do you know anything about that?
I don't know. I don't know anything about the job. I do find the video funny. On multiple levels. I feel bad for Ted, but I also agree with him a little bit that okay, Philly fans, get over yourself a little bit.
Right.
Like, you won the game.
Right.
Like... But I think what triggers the Eagles fans is when Ted says we took over this place.
Right.
Like, I, for whatever reason, that word,
they're not going to let him live it down.
Yeah, that word seems to be what they all gravitate towards.
Right.
Because what Ted's doing is a nice thing, because he's kind of like, all the fans are there rallying.
Yeah.
Right. And he's telling them to like take care of the staff and how cool it is that everyone, you know, was able to meet up at this place together before going to an NFC championship game, which is a cool thing. Yeah. But I'm telling you, the word selection of takeover just rubbed people the wrong way.
Yeah.
That was the triggering thing right there.
Maybe that's what Sirianni was doing it for.
Yeah.
he was watching that video before the game.
That'd be the most hysterical thing in the world.
Yeah. That's the reason he did it.
Tailgate Ted is in his pregame speech. He said, hey, we got to get this Commanders fan off his high horse.
That would have been great if Sirianni
said
that.
We got to take back the Hard Rock from Tailgate.
I wish Sirianni was honest after the game and just said, you know what? Tailgate Ted is the reason we went for two.
That dumbass Ted, we're going to get him.
You know what I was thinking, though, about about next year?
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe we're just kind of forwarding to next year already.
Well, you have to. I mean, this year is just
I know. But
flaming disaster.
Based on what happened last year and how hot Jaden was and how surprising they were getting to the NFC Championship game, you thought about, okay, the schedule this year was going to be a lot of primetime games.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? On a pedestal. And they were. I mean, how many primetime games did they have?
They
went like 7 weeks
prominently.
7 weeks without a 1 o'clock game.
Yep.
Next year, they're going back to the 1 o'clock.
They're
going to
have,
they might have one primetime. Maybe two to three.
Featured in 2 to 3, but they're not going to have like 7 or 8 they had in 2025.
No. You're going to have a boring schedule.
All right, let's go to Lap in D.C. Lap, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's up, Lurch, my guy?
What's up, bro?
How's it going, man?
How are you, sir?
Hope you and your family. Yeah, hope you guys' families are doing well.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks, man.
I'm gonna say Dallas, but I can understand the Philly. You know, more recently, I mean, I think we still won one of those division games. I'm just glad we beating the Giants because they was owning us for a while. I couldn't stand them, but I really want to start beating the Eagles. Hopefully, next year. And I wouldn't mind being beating Dallas, but I know, you know, we probably need to tank because we need some picks, definitely.
Yeah.
If we can't get Tate, man, I'm drafting all defensive players, the whole draft. Straight down, get more picks, but drafting all defensive players, bro.
Well, do you want them?
So hopefully, we can get back.
Do you want them to? Do you want to get the higher picks? Do you want them to lose the last two games, kind of tank it, and be 4-13?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. We need to, because this has been a dumpster fire, man. This is really sad. Like, I mean, we probably could have had, realistically, probably 7 or 8 wins with these last stretch of games. We still had a chance to win the division if we'd have won a lot of those games, especially like the Bears and Miami and Denver. Like, it's just sad, man, and it's really just showing how suspect Dan Quinn is. This is why I didn't want him. And I like the guy, but – it's like, dude, you got to know what you're doing out there. But this is year 3. You don't get a pass from me. You should know who you want on this team. If you want to get rid of all of Jay Gruden and Ron Rivera players, cool. But you better pick the players, him and Adam Peters, of who they want on this team. And Daniels needs to have his confidence back, man. You know, the coach called him a contract killer. That's what we need to see. You know what I'm saying? From the Detroit Lions, he called him contract killer. We need to see that player next year, and they need to build around him, add some pieces, man. So we'll see, but right,
thanks,
it's just unfortunate, fellas.
Yep. Have a good Christmas, man. Appreciate the
you
call.
You too, man.
Yep.
Man, it's funny how some fans are just out on Dan Quinn. I guarantee last year he wasn't.
No, he's singing
his
praises.
Dan Quinn.
Of course.
Probably thought Dan Quinn was coach of the year.
Right.
And now you have all these injuries.
That's what happens when Jaden carries you to an NFC title game berth.
And I understand. I mean, fans question why, you know, he made some of those decisions with Jaden. But, man, when a season goes wrong, everything goes wrong. And it's going to go back to the coach, too, and all his decisions. But, man, there's a lot of fans that feel the exact same way about DQ.
Coming up next, we'll stay with the Commanders. We'll get into a Washington Post article. Which Commander has the most to prove heading into the last 2 weeks of a doomed season? We'll get into that next here on The Fan.
This from Danny E. Danny E. writes, Sheehan, perfect example of this incompetent franchise. They have to go out and sign Jeff Driscoll while wasting months on Sam Hartman. By the way, Danny E. emailed that to me, so I just, you know, pulled up all of his emails to me from the last, I don't know, several years. Last year, Danny E., not last year, precisely 8 months ago, so it was in April before the draft. Stop pushing Peters to do one thing over another, comma, just let him cook, period. And that's what 4-11 gets you. Welcome to the show, Mitch Tischler. Mitch is doing a great job covering the team, as most of you know. Part of the JP podcast, which airs, what, a couple times a week, right? Something like that?
Yeah, we got three podcasts a week, a TV show, and live streaming after pretty much every game.
There you go. On Monumental Sports, at Mitch_Tischler. So we don't have to spend a lot of time on this. Honestly, I don't even really care about this. I can't believe that anybody would get worked up over Hartman, Driscoll, Josh Johnson, but I guess that's where we've gotten to for at least a small group of people. But just can you walk us through why Jeff Driscoll rather than just going with Josh Johnson and Sam Hartman the rest of the way?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was a little surprised. We saw Sam Hartman in training camp in the preseason, and I just don't think after the shoulder injury that he really has the arm strength to really play quarterback in the league. And quite frankly, this coaching staff kind of told you, you know, what they thought about him when they kept Josh Johnson on the roster. I mean, this is a guy, obviously everyone knows his story, has been all around the NFL for years and years. And, you know, he doesn't provide you a ton of upside, but he does give you some stability as a third string quarterback. If they really thought Sam Hartman could be the guy, then they probably would have had Sam as your third quarterback. But he's kind of like, who was the team manager in the NCAA tournament? McNeese State. You remember McNeese State had the team manager walked out with a boombox with the team. He was just kind of a vibes guy. And I think that's where Sam Hartman kind of plays into this whole thing, is he's, you know, he's good for the quarterback room. He's good for the locker room. Guys like having him around, and that's kind of his role here.
Well, is it also possible that Driscoll didn't want that position, that he was hoping to catch on with somebody else, you know, and decided, Absolutely. Hey, I'd like an opportunity to at least work my way into a backup role somewhere?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Jeff Driscoll's a guy that still seemed to have some football in front of him last year when he came to Washington. And, you know, that's why I was surprised Josh Johnson actually ended up sticking here, because I would have thought for him, he would have wanted something similar as well, an opportunity to really work into a backup. You look at this Washington quarterback room, and at the beginning of the year, it was hard to believe that anybody but Jaden Daniels or Marcus Mariota were going to start any games this year. Obviously, we've gotten to a catastrophic point in the season with the injuries where that's where you're stuck with. But seriously, sitting here at the record that they're at, you know, does it really matter that much?
No.
Your third, fourth, fifth quarterback? What are we working with here?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter to me. I know that in the, you know, in the deep, dark bowels of this fan base that hang on every press release, bless their hearts, this is a big deal, and this is, you know, another indication of some level of how they screw everything up. The same people that wanted, you know, us to just shut up and let Adam cook 7-8 months ago, which, of course, that's the truth. So when they decided to sit Jaden Daniels, which I'm going to come back to with you here in a moment, my position was, well, I'm not taking any big piece for 2026 and putting that piece out onto the field. Terry, Tunsil, Cosme on offense all find their way to injured reserve or inactive status on game day. And I'd even think about, you know, guys like Kinlaw and Luvu on defense. So Cosme's going to IR. I like that. No reason. And I know he was concussed, but absolutely no reason for him to be out there. I would imagine Tunsil's not going to play again. But what was your position post the decision on Jaden. We'll work our way back to Jaden in a moment on the rest of the players. And how do you think that's going to actually play itself out here over the last, you know, 15, 16 days of the season?
Yeah, I think it's going to be very interesting. You brought up a good point because that was my concern when they shut down Jaden. You know, granted, they said he wasn't cleared yet, but these guys in the locker room are all watching him practice on the football field. They know that he can get out there and sling the football still. And if you're shutting down Jaden, who else is, you know, sitting there saying, hey, man, I don't want to get hurt to go into the offseason or go into next year, particularly guys like Laremy Tunsil, who are going to go into a contract negotiation and want to get signed. I mean, you think back to the preseason this year and Rashawn Slater out in L.A., he signed a $100 million deal 5 days later towards ACL. If that ACL happens before he signs that deal, that contract is looking totally different this year. So I think that, you know, there's a trickle-down effect to shutting down Jaden Daniels. And, you know, at what point do you get to a point where guys are like, hey, man, why am I not important enough to be shut down? And then, you know, does that create any kind of strife or any kind of, you know, incongruence in the locker room? So it's going to be interesting to see how this team kind of handles stuff down the stretch here. You know, this short week is going to be tough, particularly we saw that injury list after practice yesterday. It was a laundry list of players. I think there's going to be more players out than they have on the inactive list for game day come Thursday against the Cowboys.
Yeah, it's going to be really, I mean, I've joked that they're basically on their second practice squad of players, but we're not that far removed from it because they've, you know, there are players off the street that are playing for them. So back to the Jaden decision to shut him down. I didn't hear your thoughts on that. What were they?
Well, going back to pre-Minneapolis, so going back to the elbow dislocation, I was strong that Jaden should play and needed to get out there and get those reps. But I wasn't positive that was going to happen because we've seen from this coaching staff that even in preseason, they don't value those game reps quite as much as, to me, I think that an NFL team should. And so I was wondering how they were going to handle him. When they brought him back from Minneapolis, I was very happy that he was in that game. And if he was able to play many, you know, play in a couple games after that and kind of get into a rhythm over the last couple games of this season, I was all in on it. But the second that he re-injured that elbow and, you know, despite them saying there was no, you know, further injury to it, but when they ruled him out in that next game, it was time to call it a day and just let him get to the offseason. And particularly when you look at this week against the Cowboys, all the injuries across the O-line now, it even further cements that point that at this point, you know, I don't think there's a good argument to having Jaden play these last two games.
Do you have a sense, or maybe more than a sense, a theory as to how it all came about, who drove the decision, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it starts with the doctors, and, you know, they can go to a coaching staff or front office and say a player, hey, this guy hurt, you know, let's say Jaden, this guy hurt his elbow. He's about 80%, but he can go out there and play. I can imagine a scenario where front office, coaching staff, whoever it was, you know, said, hey, if he's not 100%, then he's 0%. They make it binary, one or zero. And I think that's probably what kind of happened out after that Vikings game. I mean, you got real nervous when you saw that, you know, that the hit on the interception there. It's interesting, though, because it's a non-throwing arm. So, like, what kind of injury could he then incur that would actually impact the offseason and impact, you know, mini camp, OTAs, you know, training camp? But at the same time, you know, you don't want to put him in a situation where he's protecting the left elbow and using his right arm more and takes maybe a big hit on his right shoulder, right elbow, right arm, and does actually create an issue going into the offseason. There's many different ways to look at it. At the end of the day, I think, you know, the fact that he wasn't able to come back from the original dislocation and be 100% kind of tells you that it was time to just kind of call it a day for the season.
Yeah, I'm with you on, you know, there's a big difference between 5-6 games left and 3 games left, especially with the way the schedule broke down, short week into the Philly game, then short week into the Dallas game. So ultimately, I didn't have much of an issue with it, but it sounds to me like you probably would agree with this. If the Giant game had been an absolute need-to-have game, if the Philly game had been an absolute need-to-have game, he would have played.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
yeah.
I think anyone who thinks that Jaden wanted to not play is incorrect. Jaden's a baller. He's a gamer. He's a guy that wants to be out there all the time. And when we were looking at after the initial dislocation, you had 4 division games, you know, in those final 4 weeks. There's value to getting reps and getting experience against these teams that you're going to play twice a year, you know, hopefully for the next 10 years of Jaden's career. But at the same time, you got to balance, obviously, the re-injury and off-season progress with that experience.
Talking to Mitch Tischler, Beltway Podcast, Monumental Sports. So, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, none of us really know the answer to this, but I want your level of concern. The fact that he left three games, that he only played in three football games out of 17, fully healthy, start to finish. Do you have a concern moving forward that this is who he's going to be, or do you think it'll ultimately pan out that it's a one-year aberration?
I think there's a lot of RG3 PTSD. That's a lot of acronyms there with Jaden Daniels and the injury. You know, you got to look back to kind of the entirety of his college career and then, you know, what he was able to do last year. And, you know, he did suffer some injuries along the way, but he's not a guy that's missed a lot of games. I think it's an aberration right now, but it's certainly a data point. I mean, listen, you have the super high of last year and pretty much the super low of this year. Next year is going to be a big, big year for the Jaden Daniels referendum, especially because you're going to start talking about what that next contract looks like next offseason. So next year is going to be a big time definer of kind of where he is in relation to this franchise. And ultimately, I am believing that this is an aberration. This is kind of a one-year thing, but at the same time, you know, the best ability is availability, and he's got to remind us, he's got to remind everybody of who he is and what he's able to do out on the football field.
All right, let's talk about, you know, what's next, and I'm not talking about the Cowboys or the Eagles to finish up the season. What's the number one offseason priority have to get to immediately for the franchise for you?
Edge rusher. You need to get somebody who can get after the quarterback, and you know, Dorrance Armstrong was having a good season before he got hurt, but if you're able to line up somebody on the opposite side of him that absolutely is a dog and gets after the quarterback like that, I think that's a big issue. You know, you look at this defense, and there's nobody that opposing offensive coordinators have to game plan for really on this defense. There's nobody that stands out as an elite defender really here. And as a group, there's certainly situations where I could see Trey Amos kind of turning into that. You know, you could see guys developing and getting better, but they need somebody who scares opposing offenses. And whether it's safety, whether it's bringing in a safety, bringing in a DN, they need to bring in kind of a big time playmaker that can get out there and really impact the game, you know, by themselves. Everyone wants a Micah Parsons. I'm not saying they're going to get Micah Parsons, but you need somebody who has that kind of game wrecking ability, and they don't have that right now.
Who's going to coach that game wrecker if they find him?
Not Joe Witt, or at least it very much shouldn't be. Dan Quinn either. I mean, I think Dan Quinn's brought a reasonability to this defense. I think you've seen them play, you know, they're not as confused and as disoriented at the snap of the football. And that's something that we saw with Joe Witt as the D coordinator or the play caller, I guess, if you will, especially early in the season. And that was always an issue. When you see guys sitting there talking to each other, when the ball is snapped, that's a problem. They're already a step behind. It's tough to catch up. I think they're going to bring in somebody from the outside. If you're asking me to throw a name out there, there's a million different names that it could be, but I kind of want a little bit more experience of a play caller, somebody who's known for being multiple in their defensive looks, brings more pressure, you know. This Joe Witt, Dan Quinn defense doesn't bring nearly enough pressure to quarterbacks. We saw it early in the season against Michael Penix. We saw it against J.J. McCarthy. And then you saw it against Jackson Dart. I mean, these quarterbacks that are struggling, they just allow them to sit back there and throw the football without getting after them. And that speaks to needing to bring in a dynamic edge rusher, somebody who can dynamically get after the quarterback. So to me, I think you're going to definitely be looking at a new defensive coordinator. And I think you also have to look on the offensive side of the ball. It'll be interesting to see whether Cliff Kingsbury is back, because there's certainly an argument, if his agent is good, about how reasonable he's kind of kept this offense despite all the injuries, if he's looking for a job this offseason.
you know, that's an interesting way to go with Cliff. I'll come back to that in a moment. But what names would you throw out in terms of experience? Raheem Morris obviously has a lot of, you know, experience with Quinn. So does Ulbrich. So does, you know, Al Harris, et cetera. But what about a non-Dan Quinn guy? Have you thought about a non-Dan Quinn experienced defensive coordinator play caller?
If you want my top guy, Brian Flores does not have a contract next year as a defensive coordinator in Minneapolis. I doubt they're going to let him go, but I'd throw a fair amount of money at him. I'd make him an assistant head coach. I'd do whatever I could to bring in that guy here because he has been unbelievable in his career, and the fact that he hasn't gotten a head coaching opportunity is pretty wild, and I think it would be a good step for him. If DQ is able to kind of make the assistant head coach move for him, so that's a step closer to being a full-time head coach for him. But I think that's kind of pie in the sky and really your, the high-end portion of it.
I'm so with you. I'm so impressed every year with Brian Flores as a defensive coordinator. And by the way, it's just a preference, too, because he errs on the side of being aggressive more times than not. Look, they've got some personnel, too, on that defense. Let's not forget that. I don't know, by the way, just Max and for everybody listening, Jackson Dart against Minnesota's defense on Sunday threw for 33 yards. 33 yards. He had a 4.7 QBR. What?
I believe he had 5 yards at halftime. He had one completion to the Giants for 5 yards and an interception, one completion to the Vikings. That was abysmal.
And the week before that, Prescott faced the highest pressure rate of his career and was off. And we know what the week before that was. How about maybe running Chris Rodriguez on the opening drive another down or two? We don't have to revisit that. I think that Minnesota would be insane to let him go, and maybe this is the off season with all the stuff that's happened with the league and him, where he gets that opportunity. I would be interested in Jim Schwartz. Now, Schwartz has outrageous talent, obviously, in Cleveland, including the best football player, you could argue, pound for pound, in the NFL, in Myles Garrett. But I do want somebody, Mitch, outside of the Quinn group. I just think that there's enough evidence out there that says that whatever they've been doing here for now 31 games doesn't work, especially against Shanahan-style offenses in particular. I wouldn't mind seeing somebody outside that group rather than seeing Al Harris or Jeff Ulbrich or Raheem Morris end up here.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of different names that are kind of floating around out there who are available, but definitely, I'd like to see, you know, we gave Ron Rivera so much crap for the Commanders thing, you know, where he just brought in all the guys that he knew.
Yeah.
And that's part of the NFL, where you're going to bring in kind of guys that you know, names that you know. It would be nice to see somebody outside of the true Dan Quinn tree get an opportunity. And, you know, you wonder if, like, a Robert Saleh or, you know, if, I don't know, where things stand up in New York with Aaron Glenn, with how bad this season's been, if they're, you know, starting to look a different direction with him, even though he's, you know, obviously it's his first year there. But there are names out there. There are guys who have kind of a proven defensive track record who could be there. And I agree with you. I'd like to see them go a different direction.
All right, last one, because I know you need to run. You just said something about Cliff that's interesting. You said, can his agent spin it into, look what he was able to do with all of the injuries that he had this year? I think many in our fan base don't realize that Washington offensively, in terms of advanced numbers, are pretty much top half of the league across the board. And they have been successful in doing certain things despite having a shell of what they intended to have before the season started. So what do you think how does that manifest itself with Cliff into a head coaching job?
I don't know if it does, but this is the last year that the Arizona Cardinals are still paying Cliff off from his head coaching job there. So he was able to he was getting the money regardless one way or the other and wanted to come here and prove it. I would love it if Cliff came back. And I know there are a lot of folks out there who get stuck in the microcosm of, you know, throwing three passes at the goal line against the Vikings and not running the ball enough. But, you know, I think it was heading into the Eagles game. The Commanders offense had run the ball 401 times and thrown the ball 401 times this season. Yeah, so they had a pretty balanced, you know, list of run and pass. Now, granted, the goal line play calling could have been better. I think a lot of that comes down to the offensive game plan has Jaden Daniels with a lot of quarterback runs there, or at least options there. And because of the elbow, they weren't doing that. We don't have to get down there. But ultimately, yes, there are a lot of numbers that could suggest that Cliff has been pretty good considering all the injuries. I think he's going to get some looks, particularly when you look around the league and see the way that NFL teams want to hire offensive-minded head coaches. So I think there's certainly going to be some interest. He's certainly going to get interviews and going to be in the discussion with a couple of different jobs. Ultimately, I'd say it's 50-50 whether he's back next season. But if he really wants to bolster that resume, if he comes back next year and is able to have a healthy Jaden Daniels and put up a season similar to last year, he'd have his pick of the litter when it came to head coaching jobs two off seasons from now.
Fifth in the league in pass to run, fifth lowest, excuse me, in the league in pass to run percentage. We're looking at it from the flip. Fifth highest in run to pass ratio in the league. I think most fans who have watched this team would not think that to be true. Thank you, as always. Appreciate it. Hope you're well. Merry Christmas.
Absolutely. Same to you. Thanks for having me.
Mitch Tischler, everybody. Heading into, I think, Coordinator Day today. I think Cliff Kingsbury speaks here shortly, right? I think so. So we'll try to have anything that he says of note during the show. Couple things to get to, including we'll do our NFL power rankings and NFL buy and sell coming up in the next hour. And yes, I did get that branding study that, I don't know, maybe three dozen of you sent me on Twitter. I saw it right before the show. I'll get to that at some point today as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Hey, Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Shout out to everybody in the YouTube chat. I didn't realize I was in the background. I was just, WB should have texted me, dog.
In the background?
You know how, like, when you go into the YouTube chat, you, like, hit enter, and then you have to hit, like, enter again? I was in the first phase of entering.
I never knew about all that. I just go into it, and I'm there.
Everyone should look at B. Mitch's hat. If you're watching on Monumental or on YouTube, show Ben, Neil, put your head down a little so people can see your hat's got
Pin
wings.
In space.
B is wearing an astronaut hat now.
So this hat is kind of like what you call him? Like, what's it? Elf on the Shelf?
Yeah.
And the other thing that you put in a different spot, what's the little thing they do when people travel with it?
The flat people.
What do you call it?
Flat. Like, you make like a flat
yeah, but
picture of a
person.
This hat
has been to space.
Beam is wearing an astronaut hat.
Yeah.
Shout out to the astronauts.
Yeah.
I need to get to Chow. The way you talk about it, I need to get there someday.
Bro, food is outstanding.
Well, Bishop likes it too,
ask
right?
Bishop about it. Bishop was telling me about it for like 2 years, and I kept saying.
I also believe you. I don't need to ask Bishop.
When he was telling me about it, I was thinking CHOW. And I was like, I've been to a lot of those restaurants. He said, no, man.
You're like squirrel stew.
But when I found out all the stuff they did during COVID, man, I had to go check it out.
Shout out to Chow and the astronaut that B. Mitch got his hat. Let's have a quick conversation around Sam Hartman, because I think a lot of the posting you see, a lot of the commentary surrounding Sam Hartman, frankly, I think it's just engagement farming. Washington has told you repeatedly what they think of Hartman. And if you want to say that signing Jeff Driskel and keeping Sam on the practice squad is an affront to Sam Hartman, I would say this. One, he's been cut twice from a 90-man roster down to a 53. He's been on practice squads now his entire NFL career, which means a team could claim him at any time.
Yeah.
He's been available, right? And I think a player can have value on a practice squad roster that goes 70 deep now that isn't just his ability to play this Sunday.
Yeah.
And I think, like, people are just...
And just because you're on a practice squad don't mean you're one injury away from playing. A lot of guys, they use it for development. And they may see a possibility of 2-3 years down the road, not 2 or 3 games down the road.
It's also a guy that had shoulder surgery.
Yes.
Like, not playing Hartman is not a surprise to me, and I don't think it'd be a surprise to anybody.
Anybody that pays attention.
Right.
And, like, this is the problem, and this is the problem I have with people that cover the team. and they're here all the time. Don't make a story. That is not a story that he's not playing. I'm being honest with you. It's not a story. But to try to make it into one means you don't pay a damn attention and you don't know what you're doing.
So, or you're just trying to generate controversy, clicks,
that's what I
whatever.
Said, making yeah. a story. If you cover this team and you're trying to make that out of a, make a big deal out of that, you are an idiot. Point blank.
Like, look at how the team has handled it. He wasn't elevated last week. They only had two quarterback stress. They just brought in Driscoll. Like, they're telling you they don't think he can play for them right now. And if you want to argue, then why have the roster spot? I think
it's not a roster spot.
Why have the practice squad spot, right? Get somebody in that could play. A lot of these practice squad guys are part of a long-term development, and I think with Hartman, he has a lot of value to the quarterback room. There's things he could do with that practice squad spot that still bring value to the team, or at least that's how the team sees it.
NASCAR, I told you I had the opportunity to go through some of the trucks and stuff like that when I was working with I do a lot of stuff with AAA. Some people have two cars and all these engines. There are certain teams may have a third car. But you know what? They're not anticipating that third car ever getting out there. Ever.
Right.
But they carry it alone. You know why? Because they got a little bit more money than the other squads. If it's about $200,000, I think it is, and it may sound crazy to somebody, but $200,000 on the NFL realm is nothing. They pay about $200,000 to keep him around. And if they develop into something later on, that's an investment worth doing. It's not like they're paying him $2 million to hang around. You get what I'm saying?
Right. And if you feel a need to have like this in-depth what is going on here discussion, I think you're coming from a dishonest place where it's like you're trying to just dunk on a guy that – is probably working his arm strength back after the shoulder surgery.
And that's it.
Like, dude.
You know what
Colt McCoy said? Years. Remember Colt got wrecked in that title game, Bama, Texas, right? Years later, he said his arm was still working back from that shoulder injury.
Okay.
Like, the wrong kind of injury to a quarterback's throwing shoulder is a big deal.
But this is the difference, Jay. Practice squad can be used in multiple ways. You have a guy who can be trying to build his strength back and learn stuff. A guy may be a little injured, but he can work through it. You get what I'm saying? You don't want to put that guy don't need to go on practice on IR. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's the cheaper route to keep somebody around to see if they develop into what you think they could develop into. And that's the thing I think people have to understand. There have been many people drafted, many people have been signed to a team because the team thought they would develop into something. They may and they may not. And sometimes certain positions get a little bit longer time to develop than others. And then all of a sudden you find out the person is gone. The team has not – they don't have that lust anymore because they don't see the development. I don't know if that's the case or not. But I know they don't see that person as the person that can step on the football field right now and help them.
Right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.